At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, so it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. Io Sky and Bianca Belair tear it up. The New Day's getting torn apart, and Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman tear it down. But before we get into all of that, let me introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by none other than Justin Labar, and joining as a special guest yet again, Emily May. Emily, thanks for coming by.
Of course. Thanks for having me. This was a jam-packed episode.
Justin, I'm afraid to ask. You already know my fantasy football team, not a good week this week for Jack's Farmers. How did you guys do this time around?
Oh, fantasy this week, not good for me. No, I just kind of just gave in that this wasn't going to be my week. I gave in to a little wagering, a little gambling. I had like a 4-leg parlay. I hit 3 of them, and I thought I was going to hit this 4th one, but no, it wasn't to be. So I come to this podcast slightly disappointed as my greed got the better of me.
Just found out Cooper Kupp is going to be out for a while, so I'm very upset for my team. Jack's Farmers, it's going to be a rough year, folks.
So you're Jack's Farmers. Can you guess what my team name is?
The Barbarians.
That's a good one. That's kind of what I dub whoever's willing to admit that they're a fan of mine. No, my fantasy team is Just Incredible.
I love it. Just Incredible. Yes. So everyone changes their name every year, Justin. I think guys like you and I, we keep the team lineage.
I've been in the same league for 20 years or 24 years. And it's been the same league and I've kept the same team name.
Yeah. It makes me crabby because I'm always like, wait, who am I playing this week? I know I see the name, but who is this? I have to send to the group chat. Who is this? And then I find out who it is. I go, oh, I better win this one. This is an important one. So every year I have a shirt bet with a friend. When we play each other, the loser has to buy a shirt for the winner. And I lost this time, so I got to find a cool shirt to buy him. It's usually like a t-shirt with something stupid on it that we get. It's supposed to be like, you won, but here's a stupid shirt you're not going to wear in public.
The things we do.
In any case, let's talk about WWE and what's going on. Flobo Boyce, by the way, Saquon, Flobo Boyce in the chat, also with Wrestling Inc., he joined the Fantasy League this year. So we're going to see how he does with his team, hopefully poorly, because he's in the team. He's on the league with me, and I don't want him to do well. But we have...
Whoa!
I don't want anyone to do well, just my team.
Next year, Jack, you need to join the Maniacs, because that's my... That if I had a fantasy football team, that's my team name.
Oh, if you have, you don't even have a fantasy football
team. I know, but I'm just saying next year I make one and we're the Maniacs.
The Maniacs is a good one for you. We got the Barbarians. We got the Maniacs. I got to find a name that fits my name like that that way.
Yeah. Jack the Ripper.
We got to find, something that in Farmers doesn't work. Got to find something. The Jackers. I don't know if that one plays well.
And then you got to come up with, then you got to find like a catchphrase, like you know, the barbarians, we don't just set the bar, we are La Bar, something,
you know. Yeah, well, Flobo says La Bar section again.
I like that too.
Flobo. But anyways, speaking of big letdowns, The Undertaker talks about how the only match on 6 Feet Under that will get him to come back to wrestling is to redo the DX versus the Brothers of Destruction match that went so terribly in the past. He said, quote, "You would think all the experience that was involved in that match that we could have done that in our sleep. That may be the only match, if we did it again, that I would come out of retirement for, just to see if we could top how bad it was the first time we did it. A man lost his pec, a man lost his pride, a man lost his mask." Emily, would you be down to see DX Brothers of Destruction Part 2?
I don't know. That this one we might just have to leave alone. So we might just let it be. Just don't bring it up. You know, yeah. Let's come up with something different that would convince him to come out of retirement. Yeah, I think this one, just leave it alone. I'm okay with that. Some things just let lie.
Justin, I want to see him run it back. Yeah. Let's run it back, Justin. No. Let's see him do it again. What do you say? How about everybody? Come on. You don't want to see him try it again?
Well, you know, when I saw the headline, I actually thought he was going to say the Mania match versus AJ that didn't get to, that ended up being a cinematic match because of the pandemic. No, like Emily said, let this one be. Let everybody try to forget this, that match. You know, obviously it happened in Saudi Arabia, which, you know, there's, you know, people have their own feelings about WWE's, you know, business of doing shows over there in the first place. Not going to touch that, but those shows already have a little level of controversy anyways. Mm-hmm. And then when you see Shawn Michaels, who had what you thought was just the perfect ride off in the sunset ending to one of the best in-ring careers ever, when you see that he's going to come out of retirement, you're like, okay, he's got three of the best dance partners possible, so much history. If he's going to do it, I guess, you know, at least he's doing it with his buddy and they're doing DX. And then obviously it was just everything that could go wrong went wrong. And, mm-hmm. you know, it spoke to him doing that match, all of them doing that match, and all for all four of them. It spoke to how much money they're able to get paid, one, and two, at the time, how much loyalty they had to Vince. Of Vince asking them, look, I'm going, how many zeros on the check? I need you to do this for this big show. And Undertaker and Shawn's especially having the loyalty and relationship they had with Vince at that time. And it was a disaster. And yet, even still, as wrestling fans, I think, at least for the Shawn Michaels aspect, we all just try to, like, pretend it didn't happen, and we just pretend that Shawn still had his great send-off at Mania many years prior with Taker. We just let this one slide as if it was a bad dream. So, no, don't go running it back, trying to do number two. Let us let it be a bad dream, okay?
I feel like there are certain wrestlers, when they have a perfect send-off, like Shawn Michaels, like when Ric Flair lost to Shawn Michaels as well. That's the end. And everything else I call bonus features. Now, kids these days don't remember DVDs and what bonus features are. But basically, it's like, this is the real thing. And then this other stuff is just like extra for fun stuff. It doesn't really count, you know? All due respect to the TNA run of Ric Flair, that's like bonus features. The last match, that's bonus features. And this Saudi Arabia match, I can't remember if it was Crown Jewel or one of the other ones, but that was a bonus. It doesn't count. The real thing ended at this time. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. But that said, let's add more bonus features.
No, Jack, you're two against one and the whole chat.
Everyone in the chat, do you want to see him running back? Am I the only one that wants to see these guys? I want him to, you know what? Make it a best of three. That's what I think they should do. Really bring this home. But let's talk about, you know, speaking of people who have retired and moved on, WWE have been signing some folks to Legends contracts. Armando Estrada recently signed a Legends contract. Emily, this is kind of cool. I think they're signing a lot of these legends. And I does give them the opportunity to get some extra cash, merchandise, be in video games, television, stuff like that. For people who I think we previously thought we just never see again, I think this is just awesome that WWE is doing this. What are your thoughts on this sort of run of signing legends that WWE is on?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's been a few announced the last few weeks. And I think because they're shifting where programming is, I think it's giving these legends the ability to come back. And we saw it on the premiere of SmackDown on Friday, like the appearance of all of these legends coming back that we haven't seen really. I mean, some we see regularly, but some we haven't seen in a while. So I like the idea of them obviously making the money they deserve by being in the video games, by lending their image and their voice to the product over the course of all of these years, because they're integral to the WWE universe. And then maybe they have the ability to pop in and out of programming when it makes sense. And I think it's an exciting time for legends to come back. And I feel like the creative freedom is there a little bit more because of this shifting in this new era. So I feel like more people are willing to come back because of the new creative leadership.
Yeah, Justin, I think anytime someone has the opportunity to sign a contract that helps them make more money in pro wrestling, I am all for it. I'm happy for them, especially people that I don't know Armando Estrada's personal situation, but I imagine it's a helpful thing to have this new form of income and this other stuff going on. This is win-win for everybody, I would think, right?
Yeah, it's a win. I mean, look, obviously when you see WWE and now obviously controlled by their parent company, TKO, when you see, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue and profits being reported, certainly you hope that a little extra six figures per year can help out, you know, some of these guys and girls from the past. Because yeah, right. Even the smallest things, usually they're still allowed to do other things on their own. Usually they're still allowed to do a certain amount of appearances, what have you. And just being a character in a WWE video game or just having, you know, maybe some kind of special being done on you on, you know, one of the biographies, whatever it may be, that can go a long way for them to be able to ask up their asking price and just, you know, continue to make a living. This was a personal and professional one for me as a fan. I was a big fan of Armando Alejandro Estrada. Big fan of him. He was a great callback to an old school manager at a time where WWE really had departed away from old school managers. They really wanted the talent to speak for themselves, but he had it fit perfectly with a character like Umaga, who was not supposed to speak English anyways. I can remember seeing them at Mania 23 and I just loved the presentation. I loved it. And then, you know, that's the fan of me. And then professionally, as somebody who got to work for a while doing some managing and on-screen work, I can remember late one night post 2 a.m. in New York City below Madison Square Garden, having a late night meal with Armando Estrada and picking his brain. And it was just, you know, the greatest way to spend 2:30 in the morning in New York City for me, to pick a brain of somebody who I had such I thought so much of, both as a performer and then just get to know him a little bit. So I'm really happy for this, and I hope more and more guys and girls continue to have their phone ringing. And maybe their phone wasn't ringing in the past years for whatever political reasons, whatever personal reasons, maybe with the previous regime, previous owner, if you know what I'm saying. So I hope that this is a sign to continue to, like, you know, if there was some problem, you know, just let's build a bridge and move over any past troubled water, and let's get some of these guys and girls paid who deserve to have their Legends deals.
It's just I think a great way to also, it's definitely not a retirement plan per se in pro wrestling, but it is something where some people who have done a lot have something that now they can fall back on and continue to make money and support themselves as they get older. Because obviously wrestling isn't something that you can do forever. So it's, I think anytime you have these opportunities, again, I always say anytime people get paid a lot of money, I'm happy for them. I'm good for them, because TKO's got enough money, you know, and Tony Khan, he's got enough money. I say all these guys, they got money. I want all the wrestlers and the referees and the broadcasters and everyone else, I want them to get the money. And so I'm always happy when someone signs a contract that gets them paid one way or the other. Speaking of getting paid, Booker T weighs in on the beef between Logan Paul and Kevin Nash. So Kevin Nash weighed in on Logan Paul, saying that he's not one of the boys because he's not doing the house shows. He's not on the road. Logan Paul clapped back on social media. Booker T, of course, he's close to both these guys, or he knows both these guys. He weighed in on his podcast and said that this whole thing's a shoot. So for the people who think this is all just part of a storyline, it's a shoot, according to the Hall of Fame podcast with Booker T. He said, most of these guys today, they're not going to go out on the road and get it the way we did it. I could see Kevin Nash's viewpoint, but you got to be able to understand the viewpoint of the boys that are doing it today, not when we did it. Justin, this, I don't follow the social media side of this stuff super closely, but sounds like Kevin Nash maybe made some comments about Logan Paul and him not being on the road. I don't know how serious or how much he was how upset he was, as opposed to just a comment. Of course, Logan Paul snaps back. Of course he's going to, but not part of a storyline, it sounds like.
No, it's not part of a storyline. And I mean, you know, Booker has a point. You know, he is right. Like, times have just changed in terms of, you know, Logan Paul's value and the things that he has outside of pro wrestling does that hold a certain amount of weight. It is different than what it was, especially in the 90s when Nash was hitting his prime and stride. It's just two different eras of school thought. You know, Kevin is just fine financially. I know that he is just fine. So it's not like he's trying to drum up, one more match type of thing. It's not like he's trying to, like, I mean, I will say this. I can say this with a lot of confidence. Kevin, while he can be very unpopular to fans for his perspectives and even others in the business, he can be unpopular with his candidness. Kevin does still have a really good temperature on what a lot of people in the know in the business might still feel. It may not be what they're going to say because they understand publicly, again, why Logan Paul's there. And look, let's be honest, Logan Paul has shown up. It's not like Logan Paul's phoned in his appearances. But there is always going to be that behind closed doors of, oh yeah, you know, it must be nice to be the guy that's got the YouTube following. You know, like there always is going to be that. That's in a business of egos and screen time, that's going to be there. So Kevin is not just speaking. He didn't just wake up and just feel that. He is definitely speaking, I'm sure, to a point of what some of the boys do think behind closed doors and are never going to say because it's not good for their business, not good for social media, not good for their brand. So take it for what it is. It's just two different generations. You know, it is what it is. So,
yeah, Emily, it's very. I can imagine too saying this, you know, Logan Paul's not one of the boys. There is a difference, I think, between being the person that is in the locker room every single day and being someone who's there on certain occasions. Has nothing to do with how talented you are, how much money you bring in. It's just whether you're on the road and the car is driving town to town, which might be Kevin Nash's point, but also to what Booker T says, doesn't mean he's not great for everybody involved.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it's mixed feelings, right? For someone that, like, from Kevin Nash's perspective, like, he was back in the day, which on the independent scene, you still do to this day, is you drive hours and hours upon hours in the car with the quote boys or ladies, and you're in the car and you go from show to show and you, like, pull gas money and, like, you put the ring together, you put in the work hours after hours, week after week. And then when you're on WWE programming every Monday or every Friday, you're traveling to different shows. When there's a pay-per-view, you have your appearances. So you're putting in that work. And so I get the point of what Kevin Nash is saying, is that he's not the traditional quote wrestler that went through the system in that way, where you went every day and every weekend and did a loop, right? And he's not doing it weekly. So I get that point, that the, like, a different generation is going to think differently. But we also have to think about how WWE and other wrestling organizations are acquiring talent. They're acquiring talent through different means, through different sports, through different ways. And Logan Paul is a different way of acquiring talent. It doesn't mean he's not talented. It doesn't mean that he doesn't show up. And like you said, he's put on some amazing matches and everyone's been impressed by him. He just was brought into the system a little bit different, a little bit differently than, quote, the normal traditional way of doing it. So yeah, he isn't weekly going on the road. And some might say it hasn't been a detriment. Like, is he still training? Is he still doing some of the stuff preparing for those big pay-per-view matches? Probably, but not as much as everyone else. So yeah, I'm just saying, like, from both perspectives, there's stuff from both sides there that,
and some of the irony is, and look, anybody that's followed me for long enough knows, like, I love Kevin. Like, we did like 10 straight years of WrestleMania parties together. Mm-hmm. I'm a Kevin Nash fan personally because he's very good to me personally, and I learned a lot from him. The irony here is Kevin goes down in history on the business side of wrestling. Kevin goes down in history. He's one of the smartest businessmen in the business ever, but he goes down history of leading the way with guaranteed contracts in the modern era. Of course, we all know of going to WCW. He leads the way with what he and Scott did with the favored nations of anybody that comes in, their money gets matched. The irony is, is all that stuff in 96 kind of eventually leads to the climate of what you have now, of where a Logan Paul is going to get some guaranteed money for only, for whatever it is dates he agrees upon, versus the old days where you don't get paid unless you're working. You know, if you don't make the town, you don't get paid. Where Logan obviously gets some kind of guaranteed or some kind of very nice check per appearance, whatever, however it's structured, I don't know. And again, Logan Paul probably, you know, can look around at, okay, well, what are some of the other people being paid here, and can get himself in a certain level. So there is an irony that Kevin was so smart and savvy that 30 years later, some young, you know, YouTuber, you know, is taking that for a ride, taking that for a spin. It's kind of, they always say the business is secular, and that's right. Kind of a funny.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic that, like, yeah, it was set up back then to be successful for those doing it now.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, yeah, Kevin Nash, you're the Dr. Frankenstein to this monster. I do want to shout out Leo in the chat asks the question, is Jimmy Corderas gone? Hasn't been here in a few weeks. Jimmy Corderas is not gone. He has just taken a much needed vacation. He will be returning. So Jimmy's still part of the team.
I've been seeing the pictures every day. He's not just on vacation. He's on, like, paradise.
Yeah, I don't know. Around. If I was Jimmy, I might not return.
I missed the memo.
Oh, he's I'm not going to disclose his location, but I mean,
double secret location.
Well, locations. He's bouncing around, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm going back to this one." I'm like, "What? Get back to work. What are you doing?"
Yeah, if I was where his pictures look like they're at, I'd never come back. Mm-hmm. I would you would just never hear from me again, except you'd see a random post on social media showing a beach or something. But
I told him, when he told me where he was, I was like, find an independent wrestling organization and just hold up shop there. Just make your live the rest of your life there.
So if you win the lottery, we know, Jack, where you'll go.
I might cash in all my chips and see how long I can make it. I think about it all the time. But we have some more news about Charlotte Flair. According to Fightful Select, preliminary creative plans have been brought up backstage in WWE with current women's champion Nia Jax and current holder of the Money in the Bank contract, Tiffany Stratton, among the names linked to the plans. While these plans have at least been talked about, Fightful noted that WWE sources know that Flair is not medically cleared to compete just yet and will still be on the shelf for some time given how bad her injury was. It's also noted that they will obviously not go forward plans until she's healthy. Justin, now, it sounds like it's going to be a while before she's back, but if they're already planning stories, then that means her return has to be on the horizon, right?
Yeah, maybe. I'd be surprised if we see her in 2024. I would look for her, you know, Road to Mania, or at the latest, you know, she reemerges when the WWE calendar, so to speak, resets, which of course is right after Mania. That's just what I'm thinking, and from little bits I've heard of what might be going on there. Obviously, you never want anybody to be injured, but I will say that hopefully she's at least getting some, you know, she's getting some downtime, getting, you know, she certainly has put her miles in the past 6-7 years. I mean, she obviously has been rode hard by the company in the sense of relying on her, dating back to the Women's Revolution, dating back to where we finally said, okay, we are ditching the divas, we're ditching the butterfly titles, and this is going to be serious. You know, she's been top of the pack the entire way. And so I do think that her being gone right now there's been just a tremendous growth in the depth of the women's division. Obviously Rhea is just in a place of her own, but obviously Liv has emerged. Tiffany Stratton, I think Nia is having her best run. You know, and we could go on and on. We'll talk about some other ones of that we saw tonight. So I think it is good that it's having Charlotte out of the fold, where you're not forced to book her because you have her and she's healthy. It has allowed some growth. And so now when she does come back, you got a whole new playing field of opportunity for her creatively. And that's exciting.
Yeah, Emily, I for one consider Charlotte the GOAT of the women's division. That's just my opinion. So her being gone, when you hear she's hurt, you're thinking, man, this is going to be rough for WWE. But to Justin's point, great opportunity for a lot of people, and they've all seized it. Her coming back might be the best run of her career when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think Justin, you're right in saying that really all of the women have stepped up in amazing ways, because I think it is really scary when you lose someone that is a top star. It's like, how do you fill that? Who's going to be the big rivalry, the big story? And you not only, you have to get creative, right? And then you have to step up, and you're given opportunities that you might not necessarily have been given if that person was there. And so like what Rhea's been doing and Liv, like you said, has been incredible. So I think, and honestly, Charlotte's been holding it for a while now. And so she's getting some much needed time off. Obviously it's unfortunate that it's an injury, but I think next year, once Raw's on Netflix, things like that, once it resets, I think they'll slowly integrate her back in, because it's been almost, I think next year will be almost a year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they you can't rush it, obviously, and she might be a little apprehensive of like getting right in there. So you just have to take it slow, and if you already have some great storylines happening and some great rivalries, it's like you can't just like force something to happen, right?
Yeah, so hopefully whenever she comes back, she is 100%. Obviously, wait for her to be fully healed before she comes back. But I'm excited to see Charlotte Flair make her return. Speaking of some of the people she may have a chance to work with when she returns, Chelsea Green is apparently set for a dumpster match against Meechin. This sounds like it's been confirmed and is ready to go. Emily, are you looking forward to Chelsea Green versus Meechin in a dumpster match?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when was the last time you saw a dumpster match?
Was that Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie versus DX?
Mania 14.
That's the only one I remember. So that's
like, I'm ready. Like these are like the two perfect people to have this type of match right now. Because Chelsea Green's so over the top and so funny. And Meechin is like the queen of street fights. So you know there's going to be some like crazy moments, and it's just going to be so over the top and super fun. And I'm glad they're like getting really into these types of matches again. And just on like a weekly basis. I like how they're not leaving it for a premium live event, but they're like, yeah, let's have it on a Friday night. SmackDown, let's do it.
Justin, Chelsea Green has been fantastic, obviously, but Meechin lately has had these hardcore match, this run of hardcore matches that have been like up from NXT to, she had one recently on SmackDown, and now this dumpster match. Meechin has really upped her stock lately, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has. I mean, there were some awkward times there. They tried to transition. I mean, obviously, going back to previous regime, you know, with Retribution and this and that. And then, then they made transition of, is she Mia Yim? Is she Meechin? They're finally getting some kind of footing with her momentum, and she's making the most of it. So, yeah. And again, just one more example of just all up and down the women's division, everybody just kind of stepping up and just, like you said, upping their stock, you know? Chelsea Green's such a tremendous performer. She has that ability where she is so fun to hate, mm-hmm. but also when they want to do it, she can also be a great babyface when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's so good at, she could be the same character, but be someone you cheer for. She's that talented where she doesn't have to suddenly be different. She can like act the same way, but she'll find a way to make you cheer her for doing it. You know what I mean?
And it's so funny you said that. I was having this conversation yesterday morning on Busted Open with my co-host, Jonathan Hood. And we actually had a brief conversation about how many great top of the card characters and personalities in history were basically the same character, whether they were a heel or a face. You know, and then it came down to other variables. You know, when you really start to look at like the Ric Flairs in history, the Stone Cold Steve Austins, the Rocks, then we started talking about with AEW with Swerve Strickland, and you know, we kind of like there's some top of the line characters in the history that like they really weren't too much different heel or face, and that might sound easy or just, oh, that's a piece of cake, let's just do that. That's not easy to pull off, but you have to have a certain level of just charisma to allow the fans to go either way with you. And I agree with you, Chelsea Green is kind of starting to emerge into that category.
Yeah, I mean, you love to cheer her on, but you like love to boo her and like not like her at the same time. Like, and I feel like there's only so many people that can really be all inclusive in the feelings, and it could all be in one match too. And that's what's amazing at the work that she's developed the last few years.
Peter P saying Braun versus Kalisto on Raw was the last dumpster match in 2017. Ooh. That seems like a fever dream that actually happened. Now that I think when you look back to that, also unanimously, no one wants to see DX versus the Brothers of Destruction again. So, I'm on an island, I guess. But last little bit of news here, speaking of people love, Ricky Gibson explains how his WWE SmackDown appearance came together. Of course, Ricky took the world by storm on Friday night. Appeared on Busted Open Radio Monday morning, and he talked about what happened. He said, Gabe Sapolsky reached out to me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, SmackDown Raw are going to be in Seattle and Portland. Gibson said, it would be great if you could make it up to Seattle for extra work. And I just show up and, you know, like everyone does, you put on your suit, you go to catering, and you hope for the best. The difference is I was walking around the hallways, and there's Kevin Owens walking around. He's literally walking around like he has no clue what he's going to be doing. So I just went and said, hey, what can I do for you, man? Can I help you? And it's just perfect because I'm a tag team guy. I've been wrestling tag team for years. So when he was like, I need a tag team partner, it was easy for me to just step up and go, dude, I'm your guy. Justin, Ricky. So I am very fortunate to actually know Ricky Gibson. I've gotten to work with him many times. In fact, we've shared many a car rides to and fro the airport after and before shows. Awesome dude, teams with Midnight Heat. This guy just has captivated the wrestling world. Couldn't be happier for him. What's your take on Ricky? Are you hashtag we want Ricky?
I'm happy for the guy if he can get more screen time and get more checks. great kayfabe story. That was great. I love it.
Yeah.
So Jack, we both worked with Ricky mm-hmm. at United Wrestling Network, and yep. So I popped so hard. I was like, oh my god, what is happening? And the fact that he had a segment too, mm-hmm. and he was like all over social media, I was like, this is hilarious. I loved it so much. I was so proud. It was good to see.
I love this answer that he gives on Busted Open. It's like, I mean,
yeah,
like I can't see Kevin Owens walking around not right. like just looking for like under things for a tag team partner, like where am I gonna get one?
Well, Ricky's a tag team guy, like he said, so
I know it makes sense. He is a tag team guy.
I mean, as the story continues, he says, I saw him ask Booker, I saw him ask RVD, I saw him ask a ton of different guys, and everyone's saying no, I'm the guy, who else? So Ricky Gibson, very Undertaker-esque in this answer. I'm going to give him credit for that one. But Ricky Gibson, anyone who hasn't seen his stuff, look up the Midnight Heat. Done a lot of stuff, as Emily says, Champions Wrestling from Hollywood, United Wrestling Network, Defy Wrestling, Prestige Wrestling. He's all over the place. Him and his partner, Precious Eddie Pearl, they're great. They're mm-hmm. super fun to watch. But hashtag we want Ricky. I was so happy to see him. I had a double take. You know, just as you know, and Emily, as you know, sometimes you work with people for a long time and then you see them show up on the show and you're like, hey, I know that guy. I'm like, it's the Leonardo DiCaprio meme, you know, where you're like, mm-hmm. he's leaning and pointing forward. It was great. So very happy for Ricky Gibson and everyone keep the hashtag we want Ricky going. Actually, you know what? I interviewed Ricky Gibson on Wrestling Inc. a while back. I'm sure if you look at the archives somewhere, you could see my chat with him. So, I don't know. I want credit for something.
It's all Jack's doing. Jack was the one. He called Gabe and said, hey, I know this tag team guy.
I'm like Hulk Hogan. I'm going to take credit for discovering him now.
Jack's now demanding 10% agent fee.
10% agency fee.
for doing nothing. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We got to talk about this wrestling show, Raw. It was a good one. But as always, before we do, I want to give a shout out to everyone who's joined us in the chat. KOD, Jane Young, Majestic Marie rolling through, Steven, Tox and Brain and ODJ and Blair Bailey and I can't say everyone, Peter P and Daniel Barry and everyone else. Appreciate all of you guys coming through. We got so many. I want to shout out everyone, but that would take the whole show just to get through all these names. We got to talk about this episode of Raw. And let me tell you, we always start with the biggest story, the biggest, you know, headline. I'm going with literally the biggest thing because this moment, you guys, was everything Jack loves about pro wrestling just boiled down into one segment. Braun Strowman versus Bronson Reed. First, Miz gets a little clarification on what not being able to stop Bronson Reed means, but we're about to have a match. Never gets started. I mean, the ring rope snaps. A guy gets thrown as a weapon. Reed goes through a guardrail. Things are getting flipped over. They go through a wall. People jump off of the side. Justin, you've known me for a while. I love chaos. I love anarchy. This was absolutely, I was just giddy watching this thing. This is perfect, Justin.
Yeah, it's just this tremendous display of great live physical stunts. There's not, you know, the bell didn't ring. There's no collar and elbow tie up. It's just the what big stunt can we pull off and how can we like have it start here and then how can we take it to the back? And I mean, it's I pop so hard for Bronson Reed throwing the, you know, the fan to as a weapon. No, this is so much fun. I mean, this is you're just again, it's not even a match, but you're just booking this, you know, would-be match, you know, like these just two gargantuan monsters, just Godzilla Kong kind of thing. The question I have is, obviously, it's not over. And we saw the last time we saw these two was a few weeks ago, and they pulled off the great parking lot spot, which was well-received. So now I'm like, well, what's left? Like, what, you know, like, what's the big payoff that they're going to do? Obviously, this is going to lead to some kind of payoff match, and they're going to have to somehow make it so they can secure and ensure that there is a match, since we did not actually get it tonight. So like, whether that's a main event at a Raw, whether that's put on a PLE like a Bad Blood, like what's this, aside from like the okay, we're going to break the ring spot, which we've seen a few times over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, but that doesn't seem like what are they going to do? That's now my curiosity is so peak. Like, what are they going to try to pull off to put some type of finality to this?
Justin, just to double back on that, do you think they already have an idea, or did they just do this and now they're like scratching their heads like, oh, how do we top this?
No, based upon how WWE Creative has been as of late and had the operation, it's, you know, for things like this, you always, you know where your endpoint is and you book backwards. So I'm sure that there's an idea in the works of what they are going to do, which is, that's what's so intriguing about this. I don't think they're just throwing gum against the wall. I think they have something in place, which I'm like, oh, what is it? What are you guys drumming up here?
Emily, was this the greatest moment in pro wrestling history? Because I think it might be.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was the greatest moment in pro wrestling history.
That's forget the, Rock that's, Hogan. Forget slamming Andre. This is it.
That's a pretty big statement, Jack. But I do have to say it was really, really entertaining. I feel like fans have been wanting this. They want this big, big brute force, all these two beasts going at it, right? The rope breaking, I was like, oh gosh. But it just was perfect timing. The fan flying, again, I know you highlighted those moments, but this is the chaos that I do love too, Jack. You know, like all it needed was some fire and I would have been like a perfect match of all time. It just didn't have that. but I think, again, it's building to a bigger, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a street fight. Maybe it's like a four dumpster match, where it's not just one dumpster, there's four. You have one at each post and you got to go around. No, they're building to a big moment here. This rivalry is not over. You can't just leave it the way they ended it. So there's definitely more, and I'm all for it. I want more of this. And I want Bronson Reed to, like, this is his time. Like, I want him to really have these, he's been just on fire lately. And just showing what he can do right now. And this was like, oh, it's just like, I couldn't stop watching. So
Jack, two things with this. One is, I think they did give us a little hint of what might come out of this. While we don't know what the big massacre spot payoff's going to be, I don't think we should overlook that segment with The Miz. Because I think it's very much like The Miz is going to take offense to this. And when it does come time for the opportune time, The Miz is going to pose a problem to Braun Strowman, which could give Bronson the edge, which gives Bronson Reed the final victory to close the chapter on that feud. So I do think that we might have saw right now the very, very small droppings of The Miz going back to his wheelhouse, which is being prick heel Miz. So I think keep an eye on that. And the other thing is this just kind of, you know, you want a variety show. You want something for everybody. You got a lot of athleticism. You got a lot of things on the show tonight. But, you know, again, this is where I argue against the fans of different flavors of, like, I don't need 2 hours of a wrestling show to be every match to be the traditional five-star, the crazy heavy work rate by what that definition usually means, because as athletically applauding that could be, when you see it every match, you get lost in the shuffle. And as a performer, you're out there busting your butt, and it's like, this is something where you're in the crowd at Portland, Oregon, and you didn't see a drop toe hold, you didn't see one damn wrestling move here, right? But you went home and you're gonna tell your friends at school, your coworker, or you're gonna remember it because you saw some crazy stunts from two larger than life people, literally. So this is the point of where, when people poo-poo on the entertainment aspect of world wrestling entertainment and don't like that sports entertainment aspect, this is where it shows in its best form. It works and it stands out on the show.
I gotta say too, like, something about, like, they paced this so well. And I think that's one of those things that we forget, like the way the ring broke, big choke slam, we're like, oh wow, that was crazy. Then there's a little pace, he goes for the thing, then the way the guy gets lawn darted, it's just like oh wow, that was crazy. As soon as you start coming down, the next thing would happen and it'd be just a little bit bigger than the next thing until they go through the freaking wall. And it was just like, this is so fantastic. I was so close, Emily. Like, at the end, I was like, The very next scene, and we'll talk about the next scene later, is Adam Pearce in his office. And I was honestly, this whole time, I was like, please come crashing through the wall. Please, these guys just come crashing through the wall.
That would have been tremendous.
That would have been amazing.
Or just have, like, because he has a screen behind him, just have a big, like, boom, and like the screen falls off the wall.
Yeah.
Just something. But Emily, this was fantastic. Any other thoughts on this one?
No, I mean, I think it goes back to that entertainment aspect, is that it wasn't your typical wrestling match. It was you felt something, Jack. Like when you were watching it, you were just like totally amazed by what was happening and shocked. And that's okay to, like, Justin's point, to have that variety. And we definitely saw that pretty much in every moment in this episode. I think that's what made it so entertaining tonight.
I got to add one last thing to Justin's point about The Miz. Now that I think about it, didn't Bronson Reed make his main roster debut as a bodyguard for The Miz? I don't know.
Yes, I think you're pulling back
mm-hmm. some history. I don't know if Philly was that
back when The Miz was dealing with Dexter Lumis as a stalker?
I think it may have been.
Same time?
Wow, that was a long time ago. Something like that. But CM Punk cuts a promo. He says that he has a lot of matches left in him, but doesn't have a Hell in a Cell left in him. And even though everyone is asking him not to do it, he said he would become the devil himself so that he will see Drew in hell. Emily, I've said a few times now, and this is just another one of those moments, I think CM Punk's top three in the game right now as far as selling me a ticket to a show. Mm-hmm. And this promo is exactly one of those things where I feel like if you are in Atlanta, you better get a ticket to this show to see it live. If you're at home, you better subscribe to Peacock. Like, he just sold me on this.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best people on the mic, just hands down. And the use of, like, we're building to Bad Blood, his use of, like, that he's going to make Drew bleed, and he's going to, like, there's so much, like, emotion behind it, and there's been so much, like, on social media about this feud, and just they're building this every single day to this moment. And what's really, like, you have the imagery of the devil and then the blood, and then we're like, Hell in a Cell matches, I think we talked about this once it was announced, are brutal, right? Mm-hmm. It's some of the best matches of wrestling come out of that match and that show. So it's not something to just take lightly. And I think CM Punk is worried. It's either going to be him or Drew coming out alive. And he set that tone tonight.
Justin, something about his promos too is they're not just in a vacuum. And something I was noticing is thinking back to these promos with Drew McIntyre is how well he has slowly increased the seriousness and the anger and the personality to it. Cause he was always like, this is a personal feud, but like every time he finds a way to ratchet it up just a little bit more. And this feels like he's definitely at about as high as it can go right now. And the way he's timed it for months, I don't know. He's just so good at this. CM Punk, hot take, CM Punk's good at this.
Yeah, I mean, it had an extremely old school feel where, again, very much removed from a lot of the modern day WWE standards, but had callbacks of he's telling me there's going to be blood, and he's talking about, you know, you're going to have to kill me. I mean, this is strong language, strong words. Obviously, you know, this is the definition. This is the exact perfect example of talking people into the building, talking people into buying, talking people into a destination where they are circling their calendar to put in their phone, a reminder that on August 5th, they're going to go into Peacock and watch this. Or if you're international, you're going to order it or whatever your case may be. This was, and it's not just the curtain to curtain. And thanks to WWE production, it goes the extra mile selling it, that they do the long continuous shot, that they do the Punk pulling up in the car, and we follow him from parking garage all the way. And he does not look, he's not happy. He's not carrying his coffee cup. He's not smiling. He's not high-fiving people as we've seen him doing a lot of the other interactions. You can tell he is weighted with the emotion and conflict that is at hand here. And so great job by WWE to start the show with this and to have the long walk to really sell like, oh, he's in a mood. Like, what is he going to say here?
It was one of the best shots. Yeah. I mean, they've been doing a lot of those like corridor hallway behind the scenes shots, but this was like so long. It like added the tension of his like pensiveness of his kind of, he held back. Like, we weren't sure if he was angry, what type of emotion was going to come out when he was going to hit that promo. But like that walk was really, really intense. Beautifully done.
Yeah, beautifully done. And, you know, here's the thing going into this match, what you two think here. You know, the very first match with he and Drew, when they did the match at SummerSlam, and you had the dynamic of Seth Rollins, the referee. So that's already just something to play with. And, you know, the bracelets and play. You know, I know some critiques I heard from others of that match was that for as heated up as that feud and rivalry between Punk and Drew was, even at that point, after all the time of Punk being injured and Punk and Drew screwing each other and blah, blah, blah. Like, some critique was it wasn't as physical. It wasn't as violent. And I argued back, like, well, they played with the things they could play with. They played with what Seth Rollins going to do. They played with the significance of the bracelet. They did not have to physically kill themselves as much because there were so many emotional props at play, so to speak. And then they go to the second match, with a strap match, which, again, not diminishing that it's not hard work, but, again, you're confined to, they're tethered to each other. So that's the psychology of the match. They're tethered to each other. They're trying to hit the four turnbuckle. So, again, you don't have to pull out, you know, you don't have to pull out some of the stuff that like Braun and Bronson were doing. You don't have to pull out some of those bigger stunts. It's all, again, within the psychology of being tethered and the hatred these two have. And so they did that match. I thought that match was better than the SummerSlam. Now you have what appears to be the payoff. That's what Hell in a Cell normally represents, is this is the final match in this chapter of this feud with these two. And we all know the expectation that Hell in a Cell has. And now Punk's put it into words. I'm going to make you bleed. You're going to have to kill me. And so I am like very, I'm nervous, but excited as like, okay, what's it going to take for this match to live up to the hype, to live up to the billing? What's it going to take? I'm not suggesting a Mick Foley off the top type of thing, but what's it going to take for this to feel? Because I mean, I don't know about you two. I think this match main events bad blood. I don't see how you ask anything to follow a Hell in a Cell match, especially a Hell in a Cell match that has these two in it. So if you're going on last, how are you going to be? How are you going to end the night on and be the headline that everybody's talking about, which is what you want to be?
Well, when I play WWE 2K, which is basically the same thing, anytime I do a Hell in a Cell, someone goes off the top. But if I'm playing someone who's really good, it's usually me. But yeah, I don't know how they end this. It's got to be hard hitting. It's Hell in a Cell. So I'm very interested to see what they do to bring this one all together. But moving on, we had Sami Zayn and Ludwig Kaiser. They had a bit of a run in. Kaiser doesn't feel like Zayn is a worthy challenger to Gunther. Sami says he believes he's in Gunther's head. Kaiser doesn't agree. Sami says Gunther and Kaiser don't need each other. So Gunther comes out and Kaiser beats up Sami Zayn. Gunther says in regards to Sammy's challenge, it's still a no. But when Gunther leaves, Kaiser eats a haluva kick, and later Kaiser calls out Sammy's history of turning on his friend Kevin Owens. Emily May. Obviously, it looks like we're getting Sami Zayn versus Gunther too. That looks like where it's headed. But is Sami Zayn, you know, I look at the Bloodline, I look at Alpha Academy, now Imperium. Is Sami Zayn WWE's biggest home wrecker?
I mean, I guess so. he seems to be like opening doors to different homes and places, causing some trouble here.
It feels like every time there's a group, he's like, you guys should break up. You're not really friends.
I feel like he's just like a little troublemaker. He's like. It's not to say elf on a shelf. He's not elf on a shelf. He's Sami Zayn on a shelf, causing trouble. No,
Zayn on a plane.
Yeah, Zayn on a plane.
He's a lumberjack on a shelf, based upon the way he's dressed.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like he's not finding his place yet. So he's like, well, I'm going to mess with everyone else's victories and mess with everyone else's groups because I'm not getting enough attention. So that's how he's getting his attention, by causing all this trouble.
Justin, I feel like the writing's on the wall that we're going to get Kaiser versus Sammy, which will then lead to Gunther versus Sammy. How are you liking how this is playing out, though? You enjoying it?
Well, I mean, we are getting Kaiser and Sammy, I think, next week. I think they announced that, I believe.
Oh, did I missed it.
I mean, this is fine. Look, Sammy's over with the crowd, which is very fun. He's a very likable guy. Kaiser is a very good heel. And I think Gunther's got a long world title reign ahead of him. It's for all the positive I can say about WWE right now, and there's a lot. It is interesting to me that Cody has one situation on Fridays which has been for his title run. He's had a lack of real credible heels, especially push the bloodline aside. I mean, hell, he was handing title shots to Kevin Owens, who was like, I don't want a title shot. Have you seen my win-loss record? Like, I mean, that's how shallow the heel pool was for Cody over Fridays. Obviously, Gunther has not been a champion as long as Cody, but even on Mondays right now, if you could still consider Gunther a heel, which I think he still is on the, so you're trying to find babyface opponents for him. Well, your top babyfaces are very much immersed into the Judgment Day stuff. Your top, Priest, which we'll talk about, but he's got Judgment Day. Rhea, obviously, she's a female. She's not fighting Gunther. Braun Strowman is over right now, but he's in this crazy destruction spot fest with Bronson. Like, both world champions, I feel like, kind of are lacking a lot of good heels, or not heels, a lot of good opponents for the respective position, which is odd because, like I said, WWE has a lot of depth. But as it pertains to world title opposition, it's a little shallow. That's such a weird thing to say, and I think Gunther's kind of in that right now. Like, Sami Zayn, I'm sorry, folks, Sami's not going to be dethroning Gunther for the world title. Not right now. Not this year. I'm not saying Sami won't ever be a world champion, but it ain't happening right now.
Right.
So, and then after Sami, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not sure who's up next after that for Gunther. So, this is an interesting little dynamic to see how it plays out and how much time they try to burn until we get to the next Saudi Arabia show in early November, where they usually trot out some match, even if it's a very random, oh, we know the outcome here, or does Gunther have a title match at Survivor Series? So, like, I'm not sure what the long play is here for the remainder of 2024, but it's not Sami Zayn winning.
I got a feeling, I think, if I'm playing fantasy Booker, I got a feeling Punk wins Hell in a Cell and then moves on to Gunther, and that's his big first defense is CM Punk.
I would tend to agree with you, but I don't think you have CM Punk involved in a world title match and build unless you are seriously considering him winning it. I don't think you'd mess with that. And I do think that for Punk, it is part of his bucket list. The one thing he never got to do, he never got to be part of the main event of WrestleMania. And now that WrestleMania is two nights, so you've now increased the land, the real estate that you have to where, hey, we might have Rock and Roman for night two of next year's WrestleMania already in Penn and Vegas. We have night one. Can we give that to Punk? Right. Especially since Punk was injured last year at Mania and had to be reserved to commentary. So I think you're going to have Punk tease it. You can have Punk say he's going after Gunther, but then you have somebody who returns from the sideline, and Seth Rollins. They didn't even get to tap into the Seth Rollins CM Punk, which was supposed to be Mania last year, as we all know. So I think Punk's got other business to do. You hold Punk in any world title until Mania season. So again, it goes back to, well, what the hell is Gunther going to do?
That's good. Yeah, it's because also we'll talk about someone else in a second who's also tied up in a situation, but not to go into SmackDown. I think one of the issues with SmackDown is when you have a dominant heel champion, like what Roman was for so long, all the other guys don't seem like as big of a threat. I call it the Thanos situation. Marvel was great until Thanos showed up. Now everyone else is like, I don't care about this guy. He's not Thanos. What's he going to do? I think that's kind of where Cody's at. So now he's kind of just waiting until those big moments happen. But the issue with Gunther, I feel like the first big contender I think of is Jey Uso. But Jey Uso's tied up with Braun Breaker right now. Uso says that he's ready to get his first singles championship. Breaker comes out and says he did his homework, and Breaker has done more in 6 months than Jey Uso did his whole career. It comes to blows, and Uso spears Braun Breaker. Emily, why do I doubt that Braun Breaker has ever done homework?
Wow, why are you... He obviously, maybe he hired someone to do his homework for him. So he hired someone to do his homework. He did some research on Jey Uso.
Emily never did that. She always was a great student. She did her
homework. You have no idea. I was the one asking for extra credit and more homework. Everyone hated me in school.
You were the one that was like, hey, teacher, you forgot to collect the homework.
Oh, you have no idea, Jack.
I was terrible at school. I was terrible at school.
That's why people stuffed me in lockers and like...
No.
Yes. Oh, I got beat up all the time, Justin.
What?
Yes. That's why I went into wrestling. I was like, I have to figure out how to defend myself.
Dude, this is the thing. If I said I got beat up all the time, Justin would be like, well, yeah. Like,
no, I saw that picture of you that you shared. I saw that picture. You look like you could have been in Hanson singing Umbop. You were like a teen heartthrob.
You should see when my hair got the longest. It was the shoulder. I had some pretty good hair for a while there. Maybe Jack
was in a little boy band.
I went through phase. I had shaved head, Jack. There's long hair, Jack.
Jack, the only reason you would have gotten a threat of being beat up is because you stole the quarterback's girlfriend because you were just that suave.
Wow.
Well, you know.
Dang. Yeah.
Justin was the one beating people up, though. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, Jey Uso is the one that is causing some trouble here. Do you think this was justified, though? Like, I think it was pretty justified because that was a pretty big insult. Like, just insulting Uso's whole career.
It was great. It was, look, you had. He had barking, he had yeeting, but at the end of the day, like it was kind of like an hour. It was a little bit of truth being spoken of like, Jey Uso's got a Hall of Fame career as a tag team.
Yes,
but he has, he has really not done. I mean, for as over Rover as he is, and for as much merch as he pushes, he's not been pushed with, he's not accomplished a lot as a single star. So Braun kind of saying, look, in my last 6 months, my singles run's better than your singles run has been. But then finally, Jey took those glasses off, turned into the next gear, and got serious with him. And that was the Jey Uso I needed to see. So this made me the most interested in this match that I could be. But I'll say this: spoiler alert for next week's show. I don't think Jey Uso's beating Braun Breaker. No. I think Jey Uso is kind of on a. First off, he's still sidebarring, you know, with the Judgment Day and Rhea and Damian. And then, like, we're seeing what's going on Fridays with Bloodline, and we know War Games is coming at the end of November. I kind of feel like Jey Uso is going to get pulled back into that. So, like, I don't feel like Jey Uso's got a singles title victory in his future here.
And that's why I was going to say he's not someone who's really up for Gunther next either, because he's the first person I think of after Sami Zayn that could challenge. But he's not going to lose to Braun and then challenge for that title while being pulled into the Bloodline stuff.
But I feel like he needs a singles, like, I feel like they need, like, he needs to not be distracted by everything else going on and, like, focus on his singles run. Like, that's what he needs to focus on. But I feel like he's going to get pulled into all these other directions.
I could see a situation where they do a crazy ending next, you know, when he fights Braun Breaker, where... Maybe they even do like the dusty finish where it's 1-2-3. You think Jey's won. You're celebrating like Jey's won, and then they call it back, or Jey's got the victory, and you know Kaiser something where it's like you know Jey should be champion, but he's just not, and it somehow then it keeps him in the contention of he's in the number one contender spot to where then again I think they have an early November Saudi show. It's him challenging Gunther there. And so again, Jey Uso, who this whole deal's over all around the world, so he can go to Saudi. This will be over, and like it's just a thing where you tune in. Oh, maybe you know, but again, he's not beating Gunther there. Like, I feel like Jey is they're just dangling him. They're just like, oh, keep liking Jey, keep doing the yeet, keep whatever. But like, he's not winning any singles title right now, and he's going to get pulled back into the bloodline and probably on, I would imagine, Roman's side of things.
Justin, quick question for you and Emily. Both of you got to pick one here. So we got Braun Breaker, Bronson Reed, and Braun Strowman. The WWE decides, hey, you know what? We can't have this many Brauns. Two of these guys got to lose their first name. Now, here's the rub. You don't get to change their name. They just lose their first name. You don't get to call them Steiner. You don't get to do any of that. Which one of them gets to keep Braun as their first in their first name?
I'm going to go with Braun Strowman because he's been there the longest. So, and he does the Braun. With Bronson, you can revert to him as Big Reed or Big Boy Reed.
Big Boy Reed, yeah.
And then Braun and Breaker.
Could just be Breaker.
He could be Breaker. He can be, they could deviate off of his family name somehow. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll say this, though. It's funny you say that, though. One pet peeve I do have is you do have the closest of names, which, again, speaks to new regime. Vince would have never allowed that. That would never happen. Just like Vince would never allow Joe Tessitore to be Joe Tessitore. He'd be Joe T by now.
Yeah.
It does bother me, though, that you have Braun Strowman and Braun Breaker, and they both do this spot where they get outside the ring and they do those. Let me show you how fast I can run, and I'm going to run into my opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quality control thing that I don't like. You got to, one of them gets to have it, the other one's got to drop it.
Yeah. I do feel like that's something in wrestling. Like that's usually a thing in wrestling too. Like someone's, I'm doing this move. No one else.
Yeah, you try to not do the same things.
Yeah,
especially on the same show.
Right. Yeah. But we got to move on here. New Day versus Judgment Day tag team matchup. There's some stuff going on in the back as we get some promos between Finn and Rhea and Damian Priest and Woods and everyone else. Eventually, we get a tag team match for the titles. During the match, when the New Day has the edge, Judgment Day come out. They're cut off by the LWO. And while the back's ref's back is turned, Judgment Day is able to steal the win. Emily, we're finally starting to see the frustration boil over. And even after the match, Woods yelled at LWO and he says Kofi doesn't think he's good enough. Are we going to see the end of the New Day?
I mean, this is pointing to it. I mean, we've seen it kind of pointing that direction and kind of bubbling over. I think this was one of the best backstage segments I've seen between them, really seeing the tension and the friction between them. You know, as a tag team or as a faction or group, you have to all communicate, and they're not communicating, and it's breaking down really quickly. So this was kind of an emotional moment, I think, for both of them. And I don't think this is leading to anything good. I think we're going to see a new, they're going to part ways shortly, or they join different groups, things like that. But this is definitely the beginning of the end.
I got to say in here for Jimmy, since he's not here right now, I felt like they got a little too much heat on the ref, as he would say. As you could tell, the crowd was very upset, was booing the ref and not the bad guys here. Justin, thoughts on the match? And is this the end of the New Day?
I do think we're approaching the end of the New Day. I think it's interesting how commentary is selling that we're approaching the 10-year anniversary of the New Day's origin. So I think that's you know, and WWE certainly likes to now play with history and play with dates. I think that's relevant. I thought also, if you want to look at little things, Kofi was wearing the bright colors that the New Day's known for. Woods was wearing black and gray, which traditionally in your old school, you know, Westerns and stuff, you know, the bad guys wearing the black. So I thought that was interesting. I like all that. And I think it's probably time for change. Like, 10 years together, that's an eternity in today's landscape, especially as a tag team. I agree. I had this in my note and I was doing Jimmy's justice. That obviously I know what they were trying to do. They're creating the chaos, they're creating the situation that you know results in the Xavier Woods unhappy with Kofi. But yeah, when you have that crowd chanting at the ref, that's
not fair.
It's just too that's the type of aggressive thing you would do if the ref was going to be eventually revealed to be as dirty, you know, like for those 90s fans, remember when Nick Patrick became the NWO ref, or, In 2014, when Scott Armstrong ended up being like the ref who fast counted Dan O'Brien and then came back and tried to screw him. I mean, like, that was a lot of work to get the referee out of place. And it just buried the ref in that ref's credibility and the credibility in general, what the referees are supposed to stand for. So,
yeah,
I don't have off the top of my head a better way to do it. So I'm going to acknowledge that. I understand that I have the luxury of sitting here armchair quarterbacking, but they should have found a different way because it was way too much focus on the referee.
Yeah. We got Damian Priest versus Dominic Mysterio in the main event. Liv taunts Priest beforehand, but in the match, Priest basically just dominates this thing. And when Judgment Day tries to help out, Rhea Ripley comes out to even the odds. Priest gets the win, but is immediately beaten down after the match. And this time Rhea is unable to help because she's attacked by Liv. Jey Uso tries to help, but he gets cut down by Braun Breaker as the bad guys stand tall. Emily, good day to be a bad guy, and it must be because, as Justin says, you wear black when you're the bad guy. Look at this trio right now. We are a bunch of ne'er-do-wells here, Emily.
I know. Did we get the memo?
We're all repping the black. thoughts on this main event now they closed out the show?
I mean, this was such a, it ended on such a tableau of, like, the bad guys taking out, you know, the Terror Twins. And this, I mean, Judgment Day is on a whole other level right now. And I really just, I feel bad that Terror Twins can't get, like, so Judgment Day is playing the numbers game. They keep talking about that. That's their, like, strategy all the time. They're like, we're always going to have this many people come out and help. Like, it just seems like, so I don't know how Rhea and Damian are going to rethink their strategy. Are they going to get more people to help them? Jey obviously tried to help, didn't go well for him. So are people nervous about helping the Terror Twins? Are we going to see some, are they going to even the odds eventually? Because this has not helped. Like, it is not helping their case here. They start really strong, and then it just, like, breaks down later on. But I think it was a really cool main event. But I think they have to kind of, they meaning Rhea and Damian have to kind of, obviously, I think there's some heat between Damian and Finn Balor. I think that was revealed tonight. And I think that's going to lead to something more. Because that just can't end where it did tonight.
I think Finn was right when he said that Rhea and Damian were all about themselves when they were in the Judgment Day. But Justin, the ending of this one, Emily makes a good point. They need to even up the numbers here. But are they kind of in a tough spot with, I mean, they could obviously add Jey Uso to help the Terror Twins. But something I'm finding is it always ends up coming down to just Rhea versus just Liv in all of these big situations. Is that a problem, or do you think that that doesn't really matter in this, if that makes sense? Like, I feel you can keep adding things, but at the end of the day, it's still just going to boil down to Liv and Rhea.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can have Jey try to be an ally, but he's going to be neutralized at the moment from Braun Breaker. And, you know, and again, this all, it's all down to the soap opera, which is the, you know, Judgment Day and then Rhea and Priest. What I think we have here is we know that Priest is going to take on Finn at Bad Blood. I don't know if they've made Liv versus Rhea match yet at Bad Blood.
They did. They announced that they had the graphic tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what I think the challenge, so let's take both those matches. I think that the situation for both of those matches going into Bad Blood is maybe to a lesser extent, but the same principles apply as what I talked about earlier with Punk and Drew, in the sense of this is not the first time that any of these participants have gone against each other. But it's like, all right, at this point, what do you got for me? What's it going to be? Like, what are you going to do that's going to, like, it's going to live up to the level of emotion that this is risen to? So I don't know if that's, you know, especially when you look at a Liv versus Rhea match, I don't know if that's Liv versus Rhea. If Rhea wins, she gets 5 minutes alone with Dom. Because at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to see Rhea just beat the dog crap out of Dom. That's what they want.
Yeah,
that's right. What's there. And they're not going to book a Dom versus Rhea match, and they don't need to book an intergender match, but they can do a nice, an old-fashioned put Dom in the shark cage above the ring. And if you know, like, that's what, so that's that
it has to then, be a Dom match, but like have Dom like attached at the top, and Liv and Rhea have to fight for him.
Right, exactly. Liv wants to get him to protect him to run away with him. Rhea wants to get him to beat the crap out of him. So and then again with Priest and Damian, you know, obviously there was all that brewing tension before they even officially broke up. So it's the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, we've seen all these combatants go against each other in some form or fashion over the weeks, but it's like, all right, bad blood. That's the name of the event here. Mm-hmm. How are you going to live up to that? And that's where we're at here.
Yeah.
And we saw you're right, Justin, where we see these little small moments of like Liv and Rhea kind of going at it, but then they go and it's another, it's like, you know, two other people. Right. And it's like, we need to see that. And then eventually we, like you said, we do need to see just Rhea just take out Dom. And that's what we want to see happen. But they're like building this slowly. And it has to be, the stipulations to this bad blood match have to be so extreme. It's bad blood. So we need something, again, there's already a Hell in a Cell match. So how are we going to make this match matter too? With these storylines bubbling over every week.
That's why I like the Dom in a cage or Dom in a pole. Like, yeah, nothing else should have Hell in a Cell. That should be reserved.
I went Dom on a pole.
But there should be some type of like that. Like, oh, so we just saw Dom and Priest tonight, right? So we're not going to see Dom and Priest at, you know, again, like that's what makes, and we've seen Rhea live before. That's what makes this most interesting, is put Dom somehow in peril for the match.
What if you do, I don't know how you get from point A to maybe Dom is in the cage or whatever, but if Rhea wins, then she gets to like shave his head or something. And that's the thing, is you get to see that hair get cut by Rhea. And that's the moment where he gets his comeuppance if they don't want to do the intergender thing or something along those lines. Again, I don't know how you put him down, because he's not just going to sit there and get his hair cut. But
I think you can even hold that. I think first people want to see him just get, you just want to see Rhea just, yeah, the hair thing you can hold for later if you got to go back to something. But
Dom's gonna have a rough go of it for a while.
Here's what I would say. Again, truthfully, and I say the shark cage has an old fashioned, old school wrestling thing, but really, if you're already gonna have Hell in a Cell suspended and you know, in the rafters, only one Hell in a Cell match should be, and that's Punk and Drew. Mm-hmm. But you could have, especially if it's the very first match of the night, you could have Liv versus Rhea. And if Rhea wins, that cell is going to be lowered for 5 minutes, and she gets to have Dom like a rat in a cage. So utilize the Hell in a Cell. It's already there. Like, that could be a very fun. That's the way they should go, because that's what I think everybody wants to see. That's what's there. That's the money. That's what sells tickets, is, oh, I'm going to buy a ticket to see Dom have Rhea just throwing him around.
Because Dom can't even do a promo without being booed. Like, once he just tries to put the microphone up, he's getting booed out of the building. So it's definitely what everyone wants to see.
Majestic Marie with a great point, saying, isn't it telling of a great story that we aren't saying, ugh, they're wrestling again like years past? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we got Bianca Belair and Io Sky in this one tonight. And there's a little bit of a story about, it was supposed to be Kairi Sane, but Io Sky said she's hurt, so I'm doing the match instead. At the end of the day, this was just a very exciting matchup. I wish we had more time to chat about it. But Justin, any thoughts on this one? I thought kind of an upset. This one blew me away for what it was, though.
Agreed. Huge upset. They even noted how Bianca does not, mm-hmm. you know, she has a great win-loss record.
Yeah.
So huge upset. This was hard from the suicide dive out that Io did to Bianca. Bianca with the power spot of vertically holding her as she walks up the steps. I mean, this might have been the match of the night, quite honestly, on what was a very healthy card. So, match of the night, surprise roll up, a small package by Io. This is the type of booking that, again, back to what we talked about earlier, elevates the women. Io Sky matters way more now than she did 3 hours ago to me. Mm-hmm. So, job well done.
Yeah, I mean,
Emily, and just to say, just so I can clarify, I said it shot past expectations, not because these two aren't great performers, but because you look at the time slot it was in, two singles people from a tag team match. You don't really expect them to give you, I'd agree with Justin, match of the night quality, you know? So just no, a good one. But anyways, your point.
Yeah, thoughts. I mean, no, this was an incredible match. I mean, obviously, Bianca showcasing her strength, that spot up the stairs, carrying EO, like, really incredible as always, like, not surprised, but again, it was a shocking ending because Bianca is has an amazing win record, but obviously this is setting up, from what I could tell and watching this, you could see that it is setting up a tag team match and some tensions between them, because this loss is so devastating for Bianca. I think this is gonna just lead to the four of them fighting it out. But I think it was one of the best matches of tonight. Just incredible. And it was a tough spot to be in because it was so jam-packed with segments and stories and setting up other things. But it was very strong.
We had to start the night off early in the night. Sheamus versus Pete Dunne. Sheamus tells Kathy Kelly that Pete took his dream from him. And then he reminds us that Pete does not like getting called Butch, which is a very clever move on his part. It's a hard fought one with Dunn first trying to use the shillelagh stick, then using the cricket bat. Justin, is this one over? Or is this a rivalry that is ended, or do you think there's more to it?
No, there's more. I mean, Pete got the win tonight. He uses a cricket bat. You know, we've seen a lot of weapons in WWE. Cricket bat's not a common one, so it's not over. Just based upon the fence, this is not over. And I'm a Pete Dunne fan. He's a tough guy. I mean, you know, I'm big on the airport test. He's not the biggest of a guy. If you saw him walking in plain clothes, but if you see him walking through the airport with the intensity on his face, and if he's wearing shorts and he's got a freaking tattoo on his kneecap, and for somebody who has tattoos and knows, you know, certain spots, I could not imagine have a tattoo on my knee. Like, this guy, for not being larger than life in terms of height and weight, this guy, he's going to grab your attention if you see him in person, if you see him truly. So I'm a Pete Dunne fan. I like the fact that Pete Dunne's getting put over here. But no, I don't think we're done just yet. I think we got more coming.
Emily, big win for Pete Dunne. Hopefully elevates him more, because I'm a big Pete Dunne guy myself. I love everyone from NXT UK. But Sheamus, he's got to start getting some dubs eventually, right? It feels like he's eaten a lot of losses since he's come back.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of obviously in like a downspin right now. Again, we talked about it earlier that I think he's trying to find his place right now. There's a lot of kind of bigger groups and rivalries kind of taking the forefront of the shows right now. And so he's just trying to find his spot. Dunn's kind of making headway, not only here on Raw, but on NXT as well. So he's been playing some double duty each week recently. So it's interesting all the havoc he's been causing kind of all over. but he's definitely trying to make a statement by doing that, for sure.
Natalya faced Zoe Stark in the final match of the night that we'll discuss. Natalya gets the win, beats Stark. Justin, it feels like, and maybe I'm over predicting here, that we're in the start of heating up Natty for a Survivor Series championship match in Vancouver. Do you think that might be the case, or am I overthinking it?
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, Natalya has been around for, God, she's probably out of on the main roster. I mean, she's longer than the Usos. She's probably right there. I mean, she's longer than Sheamus.
Not as long. Today, 175th match.
She's not
raw,
as
raw match. Not
she's
match.
Not as she's she hasn't been there as long as Orton, but she's probably right there with the Miz. Her and the Miz are probably in the same. So she's right there in terms of just she's been around. And God, she's ate through some crap, right? She's ate through some bad stuff over the years. I mean, whether it was Divas treatment or whether it was like there was a time where she had a gimmick where they had her like farting, like. She's one of the best performers. She comes from a royalty family. She is one of the nicest and most professional people you will ever meet. I hate to be shallow, but it is a visual business. She looks tremendous. Mm-hmm. They've still never given her a proper world title run. She's never had that really good world title. She just hasn't. So I would love if this is leading to that in some form or fashion. Again, you have two shows, so you have time for matches. Again, you have great depth. So I hope this is leading to something like that for her, because she's probably got fewer years ahead of her than she has behind her. Give her what she deserves.
I love to see it, and I'm a big Natty fan. I want to see her have that opportunity in her home country. I think that'd be cool. Emily, but the Pure Fusion Collective is like 50-50 at best for a group that's supposed to seem like they're dominant. I mean, we talked about Sheamus needing to get some wins. Like, they need something to feel like they're a threat, right?
Yeah, I mean, they look threatening, but they need to have decisive victories to make their group really dominant and intimidating. They have the look. They have amazing competitors in the group. Mm-hmm. They just have to, like. So this was kind of. I'm glad Natty got, you know, the win tonight, but again, it doesn't look good for Pure Fusion Collective and that group. So, but again, I think you're right that it is leading to something bigger for Survivor Series.
We got a couple of vignettes. We got Uncle Howdy and his weird video and QR code. We got an American Made video package, which I loved. That fired me up. And Ilya Dragunov building some tension with Judgment Day. Justin, any takeaways from any of these video packages?
Real quick, Dragunov, if we're looking for numbers, we mentioned Jey Uso. If we're looking for bodies that could try to, combat the war that is Judgment Day, maybe Ilya Dragunov's there. American Made, I like the package as well. I like it's kind of a reset where they're clearly done with the Wyatt Six, but this is kind of keeping them, all right, they're not buried and gone. They're still here, so let's see what's got next. I did not even do the QR code. I don't even know what the hell's the next clues, but I'm fine with the Wyatt Six does not have to be on every week. They don't have to be seen live every week. You should always acknowledge them, even if it's just a promo showing the recap of destruction they caused or something like this with a teaser. You don't need to have them on every single week. So I'm fine with this pacing, but I have no idea what the latest riddle or rhyme leads to. So.
The American Made video package, just, I feel like they're going to actually get popular because it's going to be one of those, like I want to wear one of those shirts and be like, I'm American Made, and like be a bro and like be into
You would,
it.
Jack. I literally saw that promo package and totally I was like, would. Jack is going to love this.
I totally would be.
They should come guys. Out. Since
like, this is Jack's video package.
Since WWE owns it. They American Made should come out to Hulk Hogan's WCW theme, which was called American Made, which, by the way, is better than Real American. That's it a better theme. I think that'd be a great troll job to come out to Hulk Hogan's American Made from WCW.
I loved it. I'm so pumped, and I agree. I love the hot take on the WCW Hogan theme. I agree completely.
I mean, we all know when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. That's great because it was played at WrestleMania and everything. But WCW's The American Made is actually a better song. May have been on a playlist for my gym playlist at Once Upon a Time. May have been because it kind of pumps you up.
It really does. Emily, your thoughts on this? And do us a favor and just explain the Uncle Howdy video.
Yes, Emily, please.
Explain the Uncle Howdy.
You do all the homework and extra credit. Surely you have this. thing.
Well, it led.
Yeah, walk us through it.
A lot of people are saying it kind of connects. Screaming in silence, guiding the knife, like there's a lot of like poetic wisdom that you have to read into in this Uncle Howdy video.
Emily, it's extra credit. Give us the answer. What does this all mean?
Answers, you guys.
I can't wait for you to break it down and explain what it all means. We're all waiting, Emily.
No.
We're all waiting, Emily.
So it says it links to like some secrets and some pages. You got to click on it. It's like a deep link, you guys. I can't show it all.
I just explained I never did my homework.
I'm not going to give you my notes, Jack.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on, Em.
I know. Just go. You'll find it there. It's it leads to here. I'll show you.
I'm not sitting next to you in homeroom. You're no good. Not even give me your notes.
You're one of those people that notes covered your answers, like, didn't you?
Numbers and like a graph, a bond, talking about the bond of a family is a cat of nine tails. Bond through suffering, we see you, brother. When you need us, we will be there.
Oh boy.
So nine tails, cats, nine lives, or nine people? I don't know. You gotta see, it's a riddle. You have to figure it out. We see you, brother. When you need us, we will be there. So are they gonna come out? Or what, the White Six gonna come out and help someone?
Help Damian Priest against the Judgment.
Well, is there a sixth person? Because we only know five people in the Wyatt Six. Is there a sixth person?
No, Bernie, I don't go down rabbit holes very well.
I thought Emily was going to have this broken down for us, but I guess, you know, she wasn't able to do it. I guess we'll have to
tune in next week. She'll show her work. She'll have it all figured out.
Yeah,
guys, I'll have a board up here and I'll point and I'll do like the whole presentation.
Yeah,
she's gonna have a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, get a PowerPoint,
please, please. She's gonna revisit her long division. She's gonna have all the math worked out.
I'll have my whiteboard. It's gonna be awesome.
But that does it for us. Everyone in the chat, thanks for joining us. Justin Labar, where can we find online, final thoughts on the show, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it was a pretty good show for what actually is kind of a show that's in like mid flux, right? I mean, we're still a few weeks away from Bad Blood, so it's not to go home to that. But it was very entertaining. Obviously, we had a lot to talk about tonight, so that's great. Follow me at Justin Labar across all the socials. See me here on Monday night, see me on Sunday morning, or hear me on Sunday morning. It's Busted Open 9 a.m. to noon. And it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. A lot to consume.
Yeah, this is a way better episode than I was expecting, considering the timing of it all. But Emily, final thoughts on the show, and where can we find you online?
It was an awesome. It was jam packed. Like, so much fun. I loved it. You can all follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. Thanks for letting me join the Raw After Show again.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And again, thank you to everyone in the chat, all the lurkers, 5-star reviews, all that good stuff. Like, comment, share, subscribe. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I am going to be on the AEW After Show here on Wrestling Inc., and I'm going to be doing some ring announcing on Tuesday here in Southern California. So if you can make your way over to the Irvine Improv for a West Coast Pro Wrestling / United Wrestling Network co-sponsored show, it's going to be a good one. That does it for us. Follow at Wrestling Inc., by the way, while you're here, for all the latest wrestling news. I'm going to do what I do at the end of every show, and that is hit the end stream button.
Ring announcer, shout out to Samantha.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.